Anyway. Hello, my name is Father Boniface. I'm a Benedictine priest and monk of St. Vincent Archabbey in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, and I'm so grateful to have this opportunity with you, Bishop Robert Barron, the Auxiliary Bishop of Los Angeles, to talk about some things that you're involved in, which are exciting for us in the church and really shining a great light on the good things that are happening in the midst of the great difficulties that are also taking place. And I think to build up and strengthen Catholics and give us some hope and courage in moving forward, you're engaged in a great project that's opening up at this time. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Well, I appreciate, Father Boniface, first of all, being with you, always a joy. And thanks for your support over the years. Well, a lot of different projects. Do you mean the little book? Just finished a book. It's coming out now. It's in pre-sale, called Letter to a Suffering Church. And what inspired me here was the need to address our current crisis, so the sex abuse crisis, but from a biblical, spiritual, theological point of view. So we have, and we must, speak about, you know, legalities and protocols and administrative changes and all that needed, of course. But I always felt the kind of missing in this whole thing was a more spiritual reading of this situation. So, and then also something to encourage Catholics to stay. Because what was bugging me in the wake of the most recent, you know, instantiation of the scandal was a poll that I read that said 37% of Catholics were thinking of leaving the church over this. And that just kind of woke me up, I must say, that stat, and it bothered me. So the book is trying to look at this thing from a richer spiritual standpoint, and also to give Catholics reason to stay, is to argue that, yes, we have a very, very serious problem. We got to look at it with utter honesty and directness. But it's never a good reason to leave the church. In fact, I say somewhere in the book, there is never a good reason to leave the church. In other words, there's always going to be corruption and stupidity and misbehavior and all that stuff. It's from the beginning, it's been true, from the time of Paul on. But, you know, I use the Pauline motif of the treasure in earthen vessels. The vessels have been fragile from the beginning, you know. They're fragile now. But the treasure remains. And so part of the book is explicating what that treasure is. And that's why we stay. Anyway, that's kind of the rationale behind the book.
And you're trying to really get this into the hands of everybody.
Yeah.
All Catholics.
Yeah, and we had some donors help us with the production of the book, so we're able to sell it for basically nothing. It's like for 99 cents. It's a little book. It's about 17,000 words, so you can read it easily in one or maybe two sittings. And it's called a letter, and I wanted to have that feel, that quality of a letter, like a pastoral letter, really to Catholics. Now, I'm happy if other people listen in too, but it's designed really for Catholics who might be vacillating, that might be on the fence, tempted to leave. And yeah, we wanted to make it as available as possible.
You've shared that it's been something personal for you as a lifelong Catholic, as a priest, as a bishop. And obviously you had to do some research to put things together in the book to show that these things have happened before, that there are examples in Scripture, and to really think through the way forward. Was there a personal benefit for you? In
Oh, I think so. And you mentioned the scriptural part of it, and maybe that's my favorite part of the book, because I think it's the most overlooked. And when you look at the scriptures, you find an extraordinary amount of material on what we call today sexual misconduct, the abuse of power, people using sex, you know, to manipulate and dominate others, all of that. Maybe most famously David and Bathsheba. Read that story now from 2 Samuel in light of what we're going through. And you'll see all these dynamics of personal lust, of manipulation, of the abuse of power. David, who's no longer at that point asking God what to do, but is acting like God. It's very instructive, you know, where the young David's always asking Yahweh, what do I do? Where do I go? Tell me. And then he's given direction. But in that part of the story, he never asks God anything. He's up on the roof sort of acting like God and then, you know, ordering and manipulating and dominating. But my favorite one is actually Eli and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, now from 1 Samuel. So Eli, high priest, right? His two sons, both priests, abusing people both sexually and financially. The people bring complaints to Eli. Eli says, yeah, yeah, you're right. I'll talk to them. He does talk to them. Nothing happens. They continue abusing the people until finally there's disaster for Israel. Well, I think that's a distant mirror to our own time. Mm. You've got abusive priests. You have the people bringing a complaint to their superior. Nice words are said, but nothing is done. And the result is disaster for Israel, disaster for the church today. So anyway, the Bible has a lot to say about it. I go through, I think, four or five different examples in the scripture. But if for us, that should always be the lens, the primary lens. Yes, legally and culturally and all that, we should look at this thing. But the primary lens for us should be the Bible. And that's what I try to do just briefly in that chapter.
And Bishop Aaron, as you address the crisis and try to place this in a scriptural context and an historical context, you also give us encouragement and a direction, a way to move forward.
Yeah, so the fourth chapter of the book is the treasure, why we stay, you know. And then the fifth chapter is, right, the delineation of like, what's the way forward. And I do there talk about protocols and all that. I mentioned the Dallas Accords of 2002, which have been, by every measure, very successful. So we put in these administrative changes that made a huge difference in the reduction of the number of these cases of abuse, you know. But I talk about, you know, looking at this issue with frankness and honesty, surrendering to God's providence and seeing what God wants to do with the church. But the last chapter is all about that, is trying to find the way forward.
At the USCCB meeting, you spoke to the bishops about the tremendous need and going with that, a tremendous opportunity to reach out to people who are really thirsty. You mentioned the Jordan Peterson phenomenon, yeah. How many people are hungry for meaning in life, yeah. And the way that he's spoken into that, and yeah. Such a fertile field for us.
Yeah, I gave a little talk, as you say, on the nuns or the unaffiliated, you know, this army now, especially of young people who are walking away from religion. I looked at it from a number of different perspectives, but I identified as one of the signs of hope what I call the Jordan Peterson phenomenon. And I was careful to say, look, I'm not one-sidedly endorsing everything Jordan Peterson says, which I don't. I think he says a lot of good things, but I wouldn't endorse his whole program. But what I found interesting was the phenomenon of Peterson, that, as you suggest, armies of young people, especially young men, by the way, are flocking to hear him. And what's he talking about? But now, explicitly, the Bible. A lot of his recent lectures that have attracted tens of thousands to arenas, millions online, are about Genesis, Exodus, the New Testament, Jesus, the cross. Now, he's reading all that from a sort of Jungian psychodynamic perspective, which I would say is, you know, it's a limited approach. Nevertheless, that this guy, who's kind of a high-level academic, talking about very serious matters, is attracting giant crowds. To me, that's a sign of hope, you know, that we should jump into that field as well. You know, and that's also related to my concerns about the dumbing down of our faith, that for so long we've so underestimated what young people are capable of. I don't mean kids now. I'm talking about like people in their 20s and 30s, you know. We pander to them, or we water down what we're doing. Peterson's not. And mind you, I would say, the new atheists didn't either. Now look at Hitchens and Dawkins and Sam Harris, the new atheists. They weren't trading in little platitudes. I mean, they were making, now erroneous as all get out, in my judgment, but they were making strong, rational arguments, you know? So I think we as a church have got to pick up our game. I've been saying that for a long time. We got to seriously pick up our game to engage young people. And I think the Peterson thing is an encouraging sign.
Well, and you certainly do a great deal to help us pick up our game. So grateful for so many of your broadcasts and the engaging and smart way that you go about presenting the faith.
Well, good. Thanks, Father.
So as we move forward from the sexual abuse or in the midst of this this crisis, it seems that ironically one of the ways to move forward is also to share the faith. I mean, Pope Francis's call to mission is so important for us.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, here's one of the paradoxes, is you want people's faith to increase, encourage them to give it away. that the Mormons understand that very well. They'll say that when they send these young people out to do missionary work, that in one way their goal is to bring other people in. But they'll say, our real goal is to strengthen the faith of those two young people. It's good instinct, you know, is the more we give the faith away, the more it's going to increase in the missionaries. And I think that's something we just have not done. Even though Vatican II calls for it explicitly, we haven't done it. I think we see our parishes as places where people come to receive the sacraments and to do their weekly obligation of attending Mass. I mean, fine, but the point of all that, you know, is to come to Christ, to be shaped and to be fed so that you then might be sent. But I wonder how many parishes really have that sensibility, that their job in whatever community they're in is to evangelize, is now to go out, send the people out to preach the good news. That's, I think, a real cutting edge for us.
Well, I really appreciate the materials that you give us to be able to do that more effectively. It's nice good. To offer something to somebody to learn and then to have something to repeat, and then also to return to the first point, your letter to a suffering church, which obviously is on the hearts of many people. Yeah. You're giving us a resource that we can pass on. We may not be able to generate that on our own,
but
right. We can certainly pass it on to others.
I've always liked that. It's Billy Graham said it, that when you get a book or you get a tape or a DVD or whatever, now we can do it even more effectively. But you read it and then give it away to someone that could benefit from it. So it's kind of the seed approach. But gosh, even more so now with the internet, where you can just send a link to someone and you can say, hey, watch this YouTube video. But if you benefit from something, now be a missionary. Think, okay, now who in my circle of friends, who in my range of acquaintances could really benefit from this? Now give it away. You know, that's a good instinct, I think.
Your Catholicism series is now freely available on YouTube and is such a beautiful presentation of the faith. And I just had a chance to show it to Catholic nuns in China because it also has Chinese subtitles.
Yeah. Yeah, I lose track of it. A lot of it's out of my hands of how things get translated and subtitled. But I'm delighted, just delighted when I hear about that.
So thank you so much for your great work and,
you're welcome.
And sharing that with the bishops and the church. And could you lead us in a prayer as we conclude?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Gracious Lord, we thank you for all your gifts to us. Thank you for the gift of life and breath and mind and soul and heart. Help us, Lord, to become in every way bearers of your word, bearers of the seed of your word to all the people that we know. Lord, give us strength for this mission. Give us prudence. Give us wisdom. Give us courage. And we pray through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Bishop Barron, thanks so much.
God bless you. Thanks.